Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God will be released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Now let us continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17th. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give us all insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's word, his promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom. As more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus. The kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be a part of this weekly study. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational scripture. Please go to Romans chapter 1. We will be reading Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, Gentile. Verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you are not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible, unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week. We finished examining chapter 14, verse number 8, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 9. As a reminder, Romans chapter 14, the major topic is principles of conscience. Verse 9 reads from the Bible, "For Christ died and lived again for this reason, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." Here's my comment regarding verse number 9. Just like Jesus, Christians will die and live again. Our life in Jesus guarantees our eternal life with him, who died for us and redeemed us to our Heavenly Father. There is nothing to fear, but only praise and hallelujah, because Jesus is our King of Kings. Amen. Let's go back to the Bible and read verse number 10. It says, "But you, why do you criticize your brother? Or you again, why do you look down on your believing brother or regard him with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, who alone is judge." Here's my comment regarding verse number 10. Do not judge Christians. God is more than capable of handling this job on his own. Learn to hold your tongue and use words that promote faith and patience in others. All right, let's read from the Bible, verse number 11. It says, "For it is written in Scripture, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." Here's my comment regarding verse number 11. God is long-suffering, but judgment day is coming, and it will be final. Just be ready and know for yourself that you have done all that you could do to grow and apply God's word to your life. All right, let's go and read from the Bible, verse number 12. It says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Here's my comment regarding verse number 12. The phrase that says, "We will give an account of ourselves to God." But know that our salvation in Jesus is our assurance that we have an advocate or attorney that will speak on our behalf in that day. We will not need to explain all of our shortcomings because Jesus has washed away all of our sins, past, present, and future. This alone should make us want to do good, knowing that Jesus loved us so much that he alone made us perfect in him. All right, let's continue from the Bible and read verse number 13. It says, "Then let us not criticize one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block or a source of temptation in another believer's way." Here's my comment regarding verse number 13. Our words can bring life or destruction, so don't criticize. Satan uses wagging tongues to destroy others, especially baby Christians who have not learned how to stand on their faith feet. Don't be Satan's instrument of evil. If you see something that needs correction, pray and allow the Holy Spirit to give you the words to approach and teach that person in need. I want to read a supporting scripture for this, found in the book of Titus. Please turn to chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Titus 2, 1 through 8. Verse number 1 says, "But as for you, teach the things which are in agreement with sound doctrine, which produces men and women of good character, whose lifestyle identifies them as true Christians. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in steadfastness, Christ-like in character. Older women similarly are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or addicted to much wine, teaching what is right and good. Verse number 4, so that they may encourage the young women to tenderly love their husbands and their children, to be sensible, pure, makers of a home where God is honored, good-natured, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Verse number 6, in similar way, urge the young men to be sensible and self-controlled and to behave wisely, taking life seriously. And in all things, show yourself to be an example of good works with purity in doctrine, having the strictest regard for integrity and truth, dignified. Let's read the last verse, verse number 8. Sound and beyond reproach in instruction, so that the opponent of the faith will be shamed, having nothing bad to say about us. All right, let's continue with Romans chapter number 14, verse 14. The Bible says, I know that I am convinced as one in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean, ritually defiled, and unholy in itself. But nonetheless, it is unclean to anyone who thinks it is unclean. Here's my comment regarding verse number 14. Because we know people at different levels in their Christian walk, it is important to always demonstrate love and compassion. I know for a fact that there are still some churches that look down on women in ministry, women who wear pants to church or jewelry and or makeup and alike. As mature Christians, we must take the high road and adjust our outward appearance so not to offend. Be decent about your appearance. However, I do encourage, if asked, to explain based on God's word that it is not the outward appearance or what man eats that destroys man's spirit. Here's a supporting scripture that I do want to read from the Bible, found in the book of Matthew. Please turn to Matthew chapter 15. I will be reading verses 15 through 20. Verse 15 says, Peter asked him, Jesus, explain this parable about what defiles a person to us. And he, Jesus, said, are you still so dull and unable to put things together? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? Verse 18, but whatever word comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this is what defiles and dishonors the man. For out of the heart, man's spirit, come evil thoughts and plans, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, slanders, verbal abuse, irreverent speech, blasphemy. Last verse, verse 20. These are the things which defile and dishonor the man, but eating with ceremonially unwashed hands does not defile the man. All right, let's continue to verse number 15 in the book of Romans. The Bible says, if your brother is being hurt or offended because of food that you insist on eating, you are no longer walking in love toward him. Do not let what you eat destroy and spiritually harm one for whom Christ died. Here's my comment regarding verse 15. I like to start by reading the footnote in my Bible regarding this verse. They highlight selfishness. This chapter concerns weak and strong Christians and their attitudes toward each other in a particular manner within the church. If a stronger brother fails to consider the scruples of the weaker brother, the stronger brother violates the obligations of love. He is selfishly putting his own desires above the real needs of one who is weak in faith. In other words, don't be selfish. All right, let's continue with verse 16. The Bible says, therefore, do not let what is a good thing for you because of your freedom to choose be spoken of as evil by someone else. Here's my comment regarding verse 16. Again, I would like to read the footnote from my Bible. They highlight good thing for you be spoken of as evil. Here's their comment. Even if you have decided that eating certain foods is in accord with your understanding of what is pleasing to God, if it causes another believer to be grieved by the choice you have made, you should be eager to change. Your freedom should not look like a license or gluttony. The kingdom of God is a lot more important than the things we eat and drink. Here's my comment. Don't allow your freedom in God's word to be spoken as evil. All right, let's go back to the Bible and read verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, what one likes, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's my comment regarding verse 17. As long as we are here on earth, we are in a training camp. We are being fashioned and purified to be like our Lord. This training is to prepare us for the work that we will do here on earth and in eternal afterlife. All right, let's continue with the Bible and read verse 18. The Bible says, for the one who serves Christ in this way, recognizing that food choice is secondary, is acceptable to God and is approved by men. Here's my comment regarding verse 18. I'm going to highlight that phrase that says, being acceptable to God and approved by men is necessary to getting the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. It may not seem fair, but people are first drawn to those who they can relate to. If we want to be used by God successfully, we must do whatever we need to do within God's word to attract those in need. All right, let's read verse 19 from the Bible. It says, so then, let us pursue with enthusiasm the things which make for peace and the building up of one another, things which lead to spiritual growth. Here's my comment regarding verse 19. As disciples of Christ, we must learn to live a life of abstinence, self-control. Think about others and how they will see you as the messenger of God. Make sure you are building up the body of Christ and not tearing it down. Let's read from the Bible verse 20. It says, do not for the sake of food tear down the work of God. All things indeed are ceremonially clean, but they are wrong for the person who eats and offends another's conscience in the process. All right, here's my comment regarding verse 20. We are an open book for others to follow and grow from. So if your food or drink choice will be a hindrance to your fellow brother in Christ, avoid it, knowing that you are doing it unto the Lord for your brother's good. All right, let's read verse 21 from the Bible. It says, it is good to do the right thing and not eat meat or drink wine or anything that offends your brother and weakens him spiritually. Here's my comment regarding verse 21. The key phrase in this verse is offends your brother and weakens him spiritually. Christians are commanded to avoid such offenses on behalf of others. I also want to read the Bible's footnote with regards to verse 21. They key in on the word offends. Here's what they have to say. A believer does not have to abandon his own convictions, but love should cause him to carefully observe how what he does affects others. It is a sin to do something that you are really convinced is wrong, even if others think it's all right. In light of this, if a believer is influencing another to violate his conscience, even if the believer is not violating his own conscience, he has caused the other brother to stumble, and that should not happen. All right, let's continue with verse 22. From the Bible, it says, "The faith which you have that gives you freedom of choice, have as your own conviction before God. Just keep it between yourself and God, seeking His will. Happy is he who has no reason to condemn himself for what he approves." All right, here's my comment regarding verse 22. Our faith in our Savior and Lord gives us the freedom to live without condemnation of man's religious traditions and Satan's accusations. However, if what you are free from offends a baby Christian, don't do it for the sake of your fellow brother or sister. We want to please God, and we please Him when we love others more than ourselves. The scripture says that even the appearance of evil is a sin. So you can find that comment in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's go back to the Bible and read verse 23. It says, "But he who is uncertain about eating a particular thing is condemned if he eats, because he is not acting from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is done with doubt is sinful." All right, here's my comment regarding verse 23. Listeners, this is where you and you alone can judge your actions. Your decision to do something or not to do something is because of you alone have been freed from the hold that that thing once had over you. Here's an example. Years ago, my cousin Della, who is a Christian, told me that she did not go to the movie theaters because it was a sin. I did not try to convince her otherwise because to her, it could be a stumbling block. Now, granted that many movies are sinful and not worthy to be viewed, but going to the movies for me is just entertainment and does not cause me any condemnation. However, I prefer to watch movies at home because, in my opinion, it is more convenient and relaxing. All right, that completes chapter number 14 of the book of Romans. So let's begin with the first verse of Romans chapter 15. Before we do that, I want to advise everyone that the major topic for chapter 15 is self-denial on behalf of others. Self-denial on behalf of others. Let's read verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now we who are strong in our convictions and faith ought to patiently put up with the weaknesses of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves." Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Here is where we can locate Christians as far as their maturity in the Lord. Those strong and mature in the Lord will consider and live in such a way that will promote spiritual growth in others. Those immature or baby Christians. Mature Christians are quick to forgive and help those who are struggling with living like Jesus. They are not critical. All right, let's continue in the Bible and read verse number 2. "Let each one of us make it a practice to please his neighbor for his good, to build him up spiritually." Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. Just like Jesus did in his ministry work, we who say we are Christians must love others without self-righteous judgment and condemnation. We are to build up spiritually the body of Christ through our words and actions. This does not mean we come in agreement with people's sin, but rather encourage repentance and growth in Jesus. We must learn how to rebuke and exhort with love and compassion. All right, let's continue with verse number 3. The Bible says, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written in Scripture, the reproaches of those who reproached you, the Father, fell on me, the Son." Here's my comment regarding verse number 3. I love this reminder from Paul that Jesus took our sin, reproaches, and it was he who became responsible for it all. Jesus paid the cost for our sin with his life, blood, and resurrection to make us righteous before our God. When I consider all my past sin and how I was freely forgiven through salvation in Jesus, it is easy to do the same for others. All right, let's read verse number 4 from the Bible. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope and overflow with confidence in his promises." Oh, family, I'm so sorry. I'm looking at my time and my time is up. Please return next week as we continue our study on the book of Romans. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.